Good morning. I'm Lee Burden, and I'm the Assistant Superintendent of Business and Finance for the school system. I'd like to welcome everyone to the second Loudoun ERP Project Town Hall meeting. I know how busy everybody is, so we appreciate you all taking the time out of your busy day to be with us here and attend. I'm going to review today's agenda, but first some introductions and thank yous. The two newest members of the ERP sponsor group and steering committee are Dr. Kim Huff, the Assistant Superintendent of Personnel for LCPS. Kim, if you could stand up. And Dr. Rich Contardisi, who's the Assistant Superintendent of Technology for LCPS. Rich, are you here? Rich is not here, but he's a great guy. For many of you, this may be the first time you are hearing specific details about the new system, but it has been a long time in the process. We started this process several years ago with defining all of our requirements on both the county and school side. We ended up with well over 5,000 individually detailed requirements. We are still on task to go live with phase one of the system in July, and I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge the hard work that has been put into this project thus far. There are many people to thank, and these people have had varying levels of contributions to the process. First, we have the functional and technical teams who are directly involved with the system design, have been working diligently to iron out all the details of the new system so that it'll work for all of you. But there's also another group that needs to be thanked, and they're not as high profile. These are the people back in the departments who have taken on extra workloads while their coworkers are drawn away working on the project. This project could not happen without the contributions of everyone. This project and its successes to date can be attributed 100% to the teamwork involved by the county, the schools, and AST, our Oracle consultants, all working side by side for the last year to put this system together, and the difficult part is yet to come. And I'm extremely proud of the way these groups have come together. Now the agenda. First, since some of you all are new to this, I'll recap what the ERP is, and I'll go over why we needed the change. Then we have a whole bunch of experts that will talk about what's in it for you, update you on the project status, and let you know what to expect next, and then we'll have questions and answers before closing remarks. For those of you who attended Town Hall 1, these next few slides will look familiar. So what is an ERP? It's an enterprise resource planning system. For the school people, I know that ERP for us has traditionally been the emergency response plan. So I'm pretty sure they're not going to change that, so we'll just have to share. So just for the record, the ERP is the computer software system we will use to run our businesses, county government and county schools. Our current financial budgeting, procurement, payroll, and human resources information systems will be replaced with an ERP system from Oracle Corporation. And let me say from the outset, this project is not designed to reduce staffing, but it will make us more efficient. It's really more of a cost avoidance thing, meaning that things will be easier so we won't have to add as many staff in the future. We will use one central Oracle database to store all information, and there will be a distinction between the schools and the county. If you work in the county, you'll only be able to see county information. If you work in the schools, you'll only be able to see schools information. And you'll notice that we've highlighted the Oracle name. There's a reason for this. We're going to simplify by just using the name Oracle. We will use the Oracle logo as the branding for the ERP project. That's because we are using Oracle software, and we will use this logo in all future communications to you. The eBusiness Suite is Oracle's collection of software applications we will use to run our business. In order to better illustrate the advantages to using the different technologies, we have invited our two candidates to speak about their individual system attributes. Here representing the legacy system is our incumbent, Fannie Famous. While Mrs. Famous makes her way to the front, let's go ahead and introduce our other candidate, Oliver Oracle. Okay, while Fannie is making her way up here, the format of today's event will be point-counterpoint. Each candidate will have an opportunity to make a statement about themselves, and the other will have a chance to offer a counterpoint. We'll alternate, giving each candidate equal say.
Don't rush me. 30 years I've been your true and faithful business partner. I have remained virtually the same, never changing my stripes. What I did 30 years ago, I do in the exact same way. Consistency is my middle name. What do you have to say about that, Mr. Oracle?
Well, Fanny, you've served your constituents well, but it's time for new blood. Your base of support has shrunk to an almost non-existent level. I offer you proven state-of-the-art technology where the workforce exists to support it, and they haven't all packed up and retired, something you might want to consider. On another note, my consistent, pleasing, modern interface makes navigating my application as simple and intuitive as walking down the street or aisle. Everything from drop-down menus and drop-down boxes of valid values to a state-of-the-art report generator, I can provide for all of your needs from one unified database.
What? You got a problem with the color green? My green screens and state-of-the-art function keys are beyond compare. A person can easily F2 and F3 through my application with minimal problems. Yes, occasionally F3 means one thing on one screen and something else on another screen, but these people are smart. They figured it out. They're all gurus of my great system. And by the way, sonny boy, I have lookup screens that are very simple to use, too. First, you press F1 for accounting, then F2 for table maintenance, then F1 for classification structure, and then select one of the tables to modify. Then press F2 to select and F2-8 to page down. And if you go too far, you can always F7 to go back. It really could not be simpler or more intuitive. And if you buy Crystal Reports or MS Access and have some technical folks on hand, you can also develop all kinds of fancy reports from my system.
Well, I guess your idea of simple and mine are very different. F2 indeed. Yes, these people are smart, and I can provide them with all the tools that they need to do their analysis and reporting themselves without having to ask a technical person every time. Whether it's FSG, my financial statement generator for General Ledger, or OBIEE, my other reporting tool for all the other modules, these folks can get the information they need from one system rather than involve multiple layers of people, systems, and tools.
Apparently, you have never heard of Excel or Access. I can send my data anywhere, and we can merge and connect data in all kinds of ways. Why, I just completed a task the board asked for 2 weeks ago, and I must say I did a phenomenal job. I told you these users were very clever. They were able to extract data from my system, run it through an Access program, then load it into a spreadsheet, and then drop it into a Word document to really pretty it up. It was quite impressive, and all in under 2 weeks.
What you talking about, famous?
No disrespect intended, Fanny, but what would you say if I told you I could get that same information in a matter of minutes?
Malarkey. That's what I would say. That is just not possible. Seems like someone has an awfully inflated opinion of himself.
On the contrary, ma'am, I am not bragging. I'm simply stating facts. And the facts are, my system provides dashboards that, once set up, will always show you key pieces of information that are important to you. My system provides multiple reporting tools that you can use to extract almost any data that you want in multiple formats. And my system has a very easy-to-use interface, whether you like using mouse clicks or shortcut keys. And it does all these things without having to use any outside programs to manipulate the data. By the way, you asked me if I have a problem with green. Well, I don't, because with my system, you'll be able to save some trees by cutting down on paper usage. Now that's some green I can get behind.
Well, young man, you're never going to convince me. My system is tried and proven. I have been serving these folks for 30 years, and there's no reason I can't take them through the next 30 years. You know what they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You are simply trying to sell them something they don't need. And you know what? I think you should be ashamed of yourself.
Ma'am, I'm very sorry that you feel that way, and I disagree wholeheartedly. utilizing my centralized database and easy-to-use interface. These folks will be able to do more work in less time and have the ability to produce reports and queries, allowing them to more productively manage their business. With my state-of-the-art technology that has been implemented internationally in every kind of business imaginable, there is simply no reason not to switch. They will no longer have to worry about band-aiding a system and trying to keep it alive, clear, to perform only a small portion of what their overall needs are. As I mentioned before, maybe it's time for you to retire.
Well, folks, there you have it. We've heard from both of our candidates and the pros and cons of each. And the pros and cons of each approach. I'm sorry to say, Fanny, but the answer is obvious, at least to me. A state-of-the-art system that is also proven internationally, a company that has been around for decades and continues to improve and support their product, I think this may be a no-brainer. Again, let's give a big round of applause to our actors. Now we're going to take a look at how two of our current processes will change. We'll review the current method to complete a requisition at the county and then show how the same requisition is completed in Oracle. For the schools, we'll review the current process to complete an expense report and then show how that same report can be put together in Oracle. I think you're going to like what you see. Jill York will review the famous requisition.
Good morning. In 1999, my family and I moved to Loudoun County. I became an Eagle Ridge, Belmont Ridge, Stonebridge mom. I lived through boundary changes. I was an athletic booster for three sports, choir supporter, and a head drama mama. I served as PTSO vice president and president. Barbara Bonacquisti was our bookkeeper at Stonebridge in the time. And I even served for a year as a substitute teacher. But with college tuition bills looking us in the face, we decided that it was time for me to go back to work full time. So I found this opening with the county for a systems administrator that Diane Evans convinced me that I was qualified to do. And I started learning about the famous purchasing system and have trained a lot of you county employees here today in how to use it. But about 3 years ago, we started a process to look for a new system. And we joined with the schools, and I felt like I was in familiar territory again, working with school employees. And we decided to choose the Oracle software system and to select the AST implementers to help us to achieve our goals. Part of my responsibilities are training county employees in how we use the famous purchasing system. For our demonstration today, I'm going to show you how we currently input a requisition into FAMIS. And then I'm going to show you how we do the same process in Oracle. This is our main menu for FAMIS purchasing. I went to college in the 80s, and this is a very similar screen to what we saw back at that time frame when I took CS131, Intro to Computers, and learned BASIC and Fortran. So I was kind of surprised to see this kind of screen, but I quickly learned, because it does have great functionality, that to enter a requisition in FAMIS, I would have to use the function keys up at the top and select F2 for a procurement transaction. Then I would have to use the F1 key to select requisition header entry. And this is our requisition header. We fill in a due date, the contact name, the phone number. We give the RQ a title. We're able to look up vendors on the accounting side and to recommend a vendor on our requisition. Then we go down to the bottom and define our index code and our subobject code. And then we look up at the top and find our F10 to save. We're taken then to our first line item. Our first field there is for our commodity code. And we search for our commodity code. We enter the quantity, the unit cost. And I know that all the users that we've trained enter clear, concise specifications with great form and perfect spelling, right? Chosen today to put in a requisition for awards for all the people who have worked so hard to make our Oracle system to bring it to fruition July 1st. So this is our line item. We hit F10 save, and we're taken to the next line. But we don't need a next line. So we hit F10 save, and then we hit the pause break key. Anybody know where that is? We hit that pause break key to get back to the header, but we have to enter our quote information. So we hit F12 to go to our quote sheet. On the quote sheet, we enter the vendor's number, the person giving the quote, the phone number, the date of the quote, and all the other pertinent information required by our auditors, and then we add the unit cost. And then we hit F10 save. I don't know what they're saying about function keys not having the same utility on each screen. F10 is save. But after we're done entering our quote sheet, then we have to hit that pause break again to go back to our header so that we can hit the home key, type in N-O-T-E and F9 to take us to our notepad. We enter here how we made our award, and then we hit F10, save. And then we hit our pause break key to return back to the requisition header so that we can hit F8 other keys and F7 select terms to add our notes to the supplier for our whole order. We can enter term IDs, which are quick little abbreviations to bring in verbiage. We can also type down in the block function and type in our own specification, our own terms there and instructions to our supplier. We hit F10 save, and then we hit our pause break key to return to the header so that we can hit F7 to get to our address, which has defaulted in from our Brilliant Famous system. We hit F10 save to save our defaults, or we change to some other shipping address that we need, and then we hit F10 to save and go pause break back to our header. At this point, we've hit all six different pages that we need to enter for any requisition, and we review, and then we post our requisition, and it goes into approval. The approval path isn't defined by name until the approver has actually approved it. So I have to know that 4103 and level 500, I have to go to the intranet to pull up a table to see who that is and know that this is sitting in Donnie Legg's approval box before I know who to call when he hasn't approved my document. When I came to work at the county, I was surprised to see these black screens. And I was really pleased when we started the process for choosing Oracle. And so we're going to look now at how we enter that same requisition for these awards for all of our team here in how we're going to do it in Oracle. This is our main screen in Oracle. We start by clicking on our non-catalog request because we don't have a contract for this purchase. On this screen, we start defining the item that we want to purchase. In the item type, we select goods billed by quantity rather than goods billed by services, which we can also do, services billed by amount, excuse me, what we know as buying a line item by dollars in our current system. In the item specification, we still have to type in our specifications. And in the NIGP code field there, we can look up our NIGP code by clicking on the magnifying glass, and it pops up a screen where we can use percent signs as the lookup search there for a wild card and find all the NIGP codes that are appropriate with that word in it. We can click on the little icon there to quickly select that NIGP code that will bring it back to our requisition. I'm returned back to the line item, and I fill in the quantity, unit of measure, unit price. The unit of measure has the same type of lookup as the NIGP code. The unit of measure has the same type of lookup. Just anywhere that you find those little magnifying glass icons, you can do a lookup, and you can use that percent sign wildcard to look it up. We can search for our supplier in the same way. And as soon as we filled that information in, we click on Add to Cart, just like an online purchase. Now you have an item in your shopping cart. If you had more items you were buying, you would just repeat this process as you added each line item. Then you click on View Cart and check out. You can see the screen and can change your specification or your quantity or price, or you can delete the whole line by clicking on the little trash can. You can click on Save so that you can come back to the shopping cart later, but we're going to go ahead and check out. On this screen, we enter the RQ title. We add the need by date, just like our due date in Famous. The requester will default from the person who signed in, but you can change it to any employee in the HR system if you're inputting a request for someone else. The delivery location will default, but it can also be changed, and the suggested buyer is entered. If you are purchasing off a project or grant, we could fill in the billing section, but we're going to use management and financial services money for this purchase, so we just click on charge account. On this screen, we can enter our charge account information. Oops. By clicking on that, I see that the account string populates for me, but I can edit it here if it's wrong. This is going to be the biggest change for us in going to Oracle, because we go from an index and subobject code to a string that's longer. And you will learn all of that during training, so that's the hardest part to our transition here. Once I click on Apply, I'm brought back to this header, and I just click on Next. It's just little breadcrumbs that take us through the whole process. On this screen, I can add a justification for the purchase. I can add a note to the buyer, and I can add all kinds of attachments. And I can also see to whose box this is going to go for approval, with a name, not a number. When I click on Add Attachment, I get this screen where I can add attachments that are internal to the requisition, or a note to the approver, just like the justification, a note to the buyer, a note to the receiver, or to the supplier. Those attachments can be files like PDF, JPEG, Word. They can be URL links, or you can enter text. This is where we would attach our quotes, add our terms, or any other notes or documentation, all in one screen. I added my quick quote, and I hit apply, and I'm brought right back here to where the checkout and approvals and notes page. I can click on next. And I have a review and submit screen where I can check out my order. If I click on details, I can see the full details of the line item, including the accounting codes associated with the purchase. But I'm going to click on submit. I click on submit, and I see a confirmation that my requisition has been submitted for approval and to whom it has been sent. Now, if I'm an approver like some of you are here, I can log in to Oracle, and this is the screen that I see. You'll see there on the right-hand side that there's a work list, and there's one item there, and it's a requisition from Jill York, and it's purchase requisition 142 for $4,650 to be approved. Anything that you need to approve will be on this screen, whether it's an expense account, a requisition, any financial document that the approver is responsible for. And once the HR portion is implemented, any of those human resources documents will all be in that work list for the approver. If I've logged in as Donnie Legg, our purchasing agent, I see that I have this requisition here to approve. I just click on the link there in the subject, and I can immediately see the overview of the requisition. At this point, I can approve, reject, reassign, or request more information. So Donnie doesn't want to dig in more. He knows kind of about this purchase, but he has a question about it. He can send a question back to me immediately requesting more information. But he wants to dig into this, so he wants to see more details. So he clicks on View Requisition Details. Here, I see an overview of the order, but I can dig even deeper if I want by clicking on details. From this screen, I can see if the order has been processed or any receiving or invoice has been done. But I want to dig a little deeper, so I click on Show Additional Information. And I see the item information, including the charge account for the order. After reviewing all this information, I can now make a decision on whether or not to approve this requisition. So if this were the actual screen, I'd scroll down and click on a return button, not the pause break, until I return back to the approval screen. I click on approve, and the requisition is no longer in my work list. So you can see how this looks like what we all do on our online ordering. It's simpler, more user-friendly. We lose our function keys and can just click on icons as like we're used to doing. It's going to be a step in the right direction for us, and I'm excited to go through the process with all of you. And now Andrea Filial is going to come and show us the change in expense reporting for the schools. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jill. For those of you that don't know me, I am the financial services coordinator here for Loudoun County Public Schools, but I also started with the county. I worked for the county for 5 years and was actually one of the first users of those beautiful green screens trained by Diane Evans. So that tells you how long I've been around. And it's very nice to actually see some familiar faces from the county here today, as well as I've gotten to reconnect with some individuals I worked with previously in this project. So like Jill, I feel like I'm on familiar ground. I feel very comfortable with the group that's working on this project and know that you will be very excited about what we've got for you. But I'm here to tell you, I want you to picture for a moment that you've gone to a workshop. You've come back from the workshop and it's time to do your reimbursement, because you've got to get the money back for the mileage, the meals, and your registration. I'm actually older than Fanny Famous. I was invented by the Chinese in 105 AD, and they call me Paper. Yes, county staff, Loudoun County Public Schools is still using paper for their travel reimbursements. But I'm going to show you just how not so easy it is to get the process done. Of course, the form is available on the intranet, so we have modernized in that you can get to it through the web. Of course, here goes the clicking, but no F keys, so I guess that's an improvement. You will click on Business and Finance, and then once you click on Business and Finance, you'll find a link called the Bookkeeper Quick Reference Guide. For those of you that don't know it, our bookkeepers are the foundation of our school system, and they're the ones that you go to when you need any information at all. So here's a quick reference guide just for those bookkeepers. They'll find everything they need to work with business and finance. Once you get on the document, you'll find travel in county and travel out of county. Now, our trip was to Baltimore, which last I checked, that's not in Loudoun. So we're going to pick the out-of-county travel form. And here's the form. Now, if you're feeling extremely daring, you can fill in this form using Excel. But most people print the form out, or there's probably some of you out in the room that still have the pre-printed forms that we sent out in triplicate many years ago that every so often do appear on a regular basis in our accounting office. So, how do you fill in the form? Well, of course, you have to put in your name and street address and your city, state, and zip. Why is that? Well, it's got to be your home address. We've got to mail you the check. Yes, we mail the check. With this information, we can hopefully get your check to the right address as long as you've kept it updated and as long as you've filled it in correctly on the form. Now you have to record your mode of travel. Now, when I first looked at mode of travel, I thought my choices were plane, train, or automobile. Oh, no. My choice is privately owned vehicle for the benefit of LCPS or for the benefit of the employee. Kind of a trick question, but in this case, we're going to say it's for the benefit of LCPS. Now we come to your PID number and job title. I'm going to hope that all of you know your job title, and I'm not going to ask how many of you do not know your PID number. I take calls every day, and I'll say your PID number, and they'll say, what's that? I'm like, okay, let's try something different. So if you don't know your PID number, you call our payroll office, and you say, what's that thing called a PID number? Or you could look on your paper timesheet, or you could go to your ever-so-trusty bookkeeper, secretary, instructional materials technician, who has all that information, I'm sure, or quite possibly you hand her the form and say, fill this out, I don't know what I'm doing. Now, once we finally get our PID number, we now have to fill in the date we traveled. The travel date's important because, as you know, mileage rates change. Sometimes per diem information changes, so we need that date. Okay, we're almost done with the top half of the form. It's only taken 5 minutes. This point, you're going to put in what was the purpose of your trip. Well, this was a special ed workshop in Baltimore. Now, don't forget, you need to record if you got an advance to go on this trip, because if you didn't spend the whole advance, of course, you've got to pay it back. But for this trip, there was no advance, so we enter zero. Okay, we're done with the top part. We take a breath. The second half of the form. This is where you enter your meals and mileage reimbursement information. And I'm sure every one of you knows how much it is for breakfast, lunch, dinner, incidentals, grand total, and the current mileage rate. It's right there. Not so much. Not so much so. Well, guess what? We're going back to the intranet. We're going to find page 4 of our travel guidelines. And look there. It tells me how much I get breakfast for breakfast, lunch, dinner, my incidentals. I would strongly encourage you to jot this down, or better yet, use another piece of paper and print out the page. We're now up to 2 pieces of paper, or if you're using our famous triplicate form, 5 pieces of paper. Not so green, huh, Oracle? Okay. After you've jotted down this information, you go to the next screen. Now, what was it I did? Oh, that's right. It was a day trip. I don't get breakfast. So now I've got to take breakfast. So instead of the $45, how much do I get? Well, hopefully you printed that piece of paper because you have to remember how much was for lunch and dinner. In this case, it's $37. So you write in the $37 excluding the $8 for breakfast. Okay, we go down to mileage. No, that's not pre-populated. Now, what's the mileage rate? I think it just changed. Oh, there's a memo somewhere. But I'm going back to the intranet. And here's page 5. Okay, many of you are going to print page 5. I think that's about 6 pieces of paper now, because we've got to know the new mileage rate is 0.565. You print that piece of paper, or you look at it and say, I can remember that. About that time, phone rings. It's the front office. I have an irate parent. You need to see them immediately. You stop what you're doing, you leave it, and you go deal with the situation in the front office. It could be the next day before you get back to the form. You get back to the form, and you say, oh, that's right, the mileage rate's 0.555. So you write it down, you put in the total, and you say, okay, I think I'm just about done. Oh, no, I had to pay for this trip myself because I waited till the last minute, and my bookkeeper said, I don't have time to get that money to them for you. You're going to have to pay for it yourself. So you had to pay $100 to go to that conference, that one-day workshop. Now, next thing, registration, I need a receipt. Now, which bag did I take to that conference? Now, where's that notebook I took? Boy, I hope I can find that receipt or I'm out that $100. So you find the paper receipt and you say, I better make a copy of this. Another piece of paper. We're up to 7 now. Okay, now we're going to sit down, and what I call this is completing your federal tax return, because this is what it sounds like. We need to add the column down on the right and record the total reimbursable expenses. Record any advances we received. Record how much is due back by based on the advance, and then record the total due the employee at the bottom. Doesn't it sound like the federal tax return? How much did you pay? How much did they pay? That's what this form is. Okay, we've totaled it, and finally, $211.37. That was a lot of work for $211.37. Well, I think I'm done, but before I give it to anybody, I better make a copy of the form. Well, that's 8 pieces of paper. Okay, so we've got 8 pieces of paper to complete this process. But wait a minute, I think there's something else I'm supposed to do. Oh, I gotta sign that form and date it. Okay, I'm finally done. I hand it off to my bookkeeper. My bookkeeper's gotta go in. Well, what code should I use to pay for this trip? Is the school paying for it? Is the elementary ed office paying for it? Is the kindergarten supervisor paying for it? We have to code it. Then we have to assign a document number, because that's not automatic. So we go over to our notebook, or in some cases a spreadsheet, and say, oh, it looks like I haven't used GR13001013. I can use that. Gosh, I hope it's not a duplicate number, because accounting will be calling me and it'll be delayed another day. Okay, I get the information entered. And I've got to get the supervisor's approval. Now you have the boss's signature and hopefully the form attached. And I think we were up to 8 sheets of paper. Well, the bookkeeper decides I've got to have a copy too, because what if my supervisor loses that piece of paper and I don't have a piece of paper? So I better copy the receipt and I better copy the form. 10 pieces of paper. Over time, that adds up to a lot of pieces of paper. So now what? Now you wait. Because remember, county, we're not electronic. We don't have I-forms. We get to wait for snail mail. It's got to come from the school, get on the courier. I hope the courier doesn't lose my manila envelope and that the receipt doesn't come separated from the form, because then it'll just delay it that much longer. Now, I wonder where it's at. Is it on the courier? Is it in accounting? Whose desk is it on? I have no idea. We call to find out where your check is and when you're going to be getting your money, only to be told, we don't have your form. And you say, oh, great. Well, you don't know quite what to do, but you go to your mailbox a week later, and in your mailbox, you find a check. Oh, it's my reimbursement. Now, when am I going to get to the bank? That would be the current system at Loudoun County Public Schools. As you're going to see, you now will know why we are excited to have Oracle. Fanny, you've done your time, but it's time to move on. And I've used those green screens for 25 years, but personally, I'm tired of using the F keys over and over. And Jill, I had a hard time finding the pause break key, just so you know. Okay, so let's move on to Oracle and just show you how easy it's going to be. You're going to log into Oracle, and guess what, guys? One ID, one password. You no more will have to have an ID and password for every financial system and write them down on another piece of paper and keep it taped to your monitor or under your keyboard. So you'll know what all those pesky passwords might be. Yes, guys, I know all your hiding places. Okay, we're going to click on LCPS, Internet Expenses. Oracle provides you a self-service application where you can record your trip for reimbursement. The link is on the left. You click on the link, and up comes a screen. You can create your expense report. Not only that, this screen tells you every expense report you've done, where the ones are at, ones that you can change, all right on one screen. So at this point, we'll click on Create Expense Report. Looky there. It knows who I am. It knows my name, my PID number just by logging in. It even knows what cost center, or it, at this point it's called in the current system, which you know as the index code, I work at. It also knows who my supervisor is. I don't have to fill any of that. All I've got to do is, why'd I take the trip, and hit save. Now, there's three tabs here. One's for your receipt-based expenses, which would be our registration. One's your per diem, which would be your meals. And one is for your mileage. In the receipt-based, you click on and you put in the date, the amount of the receipt, which was $100. And we're even going to give you a quick shortcut drop-down list to pick from. You pick conference expense. Once again, special ed workshop in Baltimore. And you click on update. Once you click on update, you can now go to the per diem expenses tab. This is where we enter our meals. Now, don't forget, you didn't get breakfast. Remember, no overnight trip, so no breakfast. At this point, you're going to put in the date. You're going to put in the justification as lunch and dinner. And you're going to put in, it will tell you it was for one day. At this point, you're going to hit calculate. Uh-oh, $45? I don't get $45. Someone in accounting would have sent that back. But this system, you just click on details, and you can exclude any of the meals you did not take. You simply click on the breakfast button to exclude breakfast from your options, and when you recalculate, it's now $37. No more will you need to know how much each meal costs when you're trying to break it out for your daily. Now click on mileage. Enter the start date, expense type, what you did, and this does say kilometers, but since we're not going to travel to Canada, we're going to get this to default to miles for you. Because I don't know about you, but I don't do very well at converting miles to kilometers. So that'll default to miles. The total round trip distance, and you hit calculate. Based on the start date, it's going to put in your distance rate. Then you're going to click on next, and all the coding is done. You may only have to change one or two of what we're calling the segments of your coding, depending on whose money you're using or what it's for, but otherwise everything else will be filled in for you. After you do that, and once you've added the information, you'll go to the next screen where you can look at your information and you'll click on submit. Remember, this system knows who you are. So yes, the computer is watching you. As soon as you sign in, it knows it's you. The system's also smart enough to know who your supervisor is. And most of us are probably smart enough to know who our supervisor is, too. If you're not, it's in your best interest to know. So you'll know who your supervisor is. So once this report is submitted, it'll automatically go to the supervisor's dashboard or the desktop, as Jill showed you. And here's Mr. Waldman's dashboard. As you can see on the right, and Jill mentioned this, you'll see what tasks he needs to complete. All he's got to do is click on the hot link, and as in the same with requisitions, he can approve, reject, reassign, request information. It will also show you all the other expense reports this employee has submitted. So you can say, boy, this person travels a lot. They go to a lot of conferences. Or they've already submitted for this trip. Why are they submitting it again? At this point, you can then click on approve. When you click on approve as the supervisor, the employee will see that it's pending payables approval, which lets her know it's with the accounting office. It'll also, down at the bottom, show her when her supervisor approved it. So it'll let us know how long it's sitting in the hopper before it's processed. What does this do for you? It takes the guesswork out of the process. Another advantage of this, and school employees, we intend to have these reimbursements electronically sent to your bank, so no more will you have to wait at your mailbox wondering when the check is going to come and then figure out when you're going to go to the bank. So county staff, see, we're catching up. Pretty soon we'll all be on the same page. In this system, your approvals are routed electronically. We know exactly where it currently sits in the process. And did you ever once hear me say paper? We went from 10 sheets to none. And yesterday in a meeting, I heard about how paper was hard to come by. Well, we're saving lots of paper here. So we'll have paper for the future. So with that, we are happy, happy, happy. And now I'd like to introduce Bill McIntyre from the Milan County Department of Information and Technology, who's going to give you some information about the status of the project.
Thank you, Andrea. Good morning. As Andrea showed, we are going to be replacing many of our manual paper-intensive systems with Oracle. But in addition to those paper-intensive systems, we are also going to be replacing a lot of our existing systems. In phase one, we will be replacing FAMIS, GovMax, OLPS, and quite a few iForms. When I first saw that the budget adjustment was on this list, I remember back when Mike and I were actually sitting around a table and we designed iForms for the first time, and it just felt just like yesterday we did this. But then I also remembered I was also teaching a class at the same time called Introduction to the Internet. And in that class, the first 20 minutes of that class, I spent teaching people how to use a mouse. As I remember back, I can't believe we spent 20 minutes, but I remember double-clicking was almost impossible. And at the end of 20 minutes, you graduated if you could drag and drop. But that class is no longer held because it's no longer necessary. People start with the county and start with the schools already knowing how to use the Internet, already knowing how to use a mouse. So just like that class is not going to be necessary anymore. The BA, journal entry, RP, and quite a few more will not be necessary. In phase two, we'll be replacing Cyborg HR, Cyborg Payroll, Winocular, and quite a few other systems. This is just a representative sample. We mentioned phases. Let me break down what the project looks like in the three phases as they've been described. Phase one is financial procurement systems. This also includes budget and grants. Phase two includes human resources, which involves payroll, training, and a few other systems. And phase three is advanced procurement, which goes over more advanced features for the procurement department. I want you to notice a few things from this slide. First off, go live. July 1st, 2013, we go live with phase one. What does that mean? That means that's when you will be using FAMIS. I'm sorry. I will be doing that quite a few more times in my presentation. You will be using Oracle. I also want you to know that you are here. In January 2013, July is right around the corner. And there's quite a few sub-phases that we have to go through, and I'll go over those in a little bit. But let's talk about phase two. I want you to also notice how phase two starts before the go-live date of phase one. Okay, so we have quite a few overlaps involved there. So as I mentioned, we have some sub-phases. The sub-phases we've already been through, define, analyze, and design, the teams have been working very hard to get to the build phase, where we're actually designing the Oracle system and getting it ready for your use. Another major aspect is going to be the train phase. In training, that is where you will learn exactly what Andrea and Jill have shown you today and many other aspects of the Oracle system. Now I'd like to introduce Tom Grubb from AST, who will go over what's next.
Thank you, Bill. In our first town hall meeting that was held last summer, we told you that we were going to stand up a network of what we call change agents. And we have done that now. We do have a network of individuals both at the counties and another group at the schools. And they have a real specific and important role in what we're doing here. They're advocates of the new system. They understand the business need and why we're doing this change. But for you, as the folks that are going to be the end users, the really important thing is that they are going to act as your connection to the project team. When you have questions about Oracle, you can go to your change agent and ask questions. Now, are they going to know every answer to every question you might have? No, they're not. But they will know who to go to get your questions answered. You can tell who a change agent is by the round button. It says Oracle. I see some of you smiling out there that have the buttons on. And it says Ask Me. So if you would please, change agents, please stand and be recognized. As you can see, we have a large group of those folks. So there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of avenues for you to get your questions answered about the Oracle project. Another thing we've done is we have created a new communications link. When you walked in to the meeting today, you received a business card. And on that, there's two links for information, both at the county and the schools. If you click on those links when you get back to your office, you will see links to Oracle information. This is where we're going to house all our information about the project. You'll have frequently asked questions that will be answered there. We'll have a video of this town hall meeting for those who can't go to it. That'll be housed in this link as well. And we'll have archives of communications that were sent directly to you. So it'll be kind of one-stop shopping as far as another place to get information about the project. And finally, we're going to have a third town hall meeting. And this one's going to have two important topics that we want to talk about. The first is the training schedule. Training is going to happen in May and June. And the way we're going to conduct this is we're using what we call Train the Trainer. AST consultants will work with members of the project team, give them the skills to be able to train the Oracle applications to the end users. And then you will be trained not by consultants, but by folks that you know and Loudoun employees. So we find that this is a very effective way to do this training, and I think you're going to find it good for you as well. Now, the training schedule coordination is very important because we want to do as much training as we can just in time right before we go live so that your skills can become fresh or stay fresh. So for that, we've asked, and we have three volunteers who have agreed to act as training coordinators throughout the organization. At the schools, Dottie West has volunteered. At the county, Linda Erickson has volunteered. And at DIT, Jim Sebesta has volunteered. If you three would please stand up, be recognized. And finally, the second topic in the town hall meeting will be about the transition schedule. As you look at this, we're going from an old system to a new system. And with that, a lot of information has to be transferred out of the old systems and into Oracle. And for that to happen, the system can't have a lot of transactions going on. It needs to kind of stop for a little while. So the end of June this year is going to look a lot different for you because you will be asked to participate in this process. You'll be asked to stop requisitions, new requisitions at a certain point. So you'll have to buy the things that you need early on for that so we can have this kind of quiet period while we do the transition. You've already received some information about that, but you will receive much more detailed information as we get closer and closer to go live. So that's what Town Hall 3 will do for us. At this point, I'd like to turn the meeting over to Ben Mays, project sponsor.
Good morning. I want to thank everybody for coming out here today. I recognize a lot of the county staff here, and I know we have the administrative staff from the schools, the people who provide the real backbone of making all of the paper that we talked about earlier run through the school system along with the electrons as well. Here we have a limited number of some of the principals here. I have to say that given my career in education. Back in the 1970s, the thought of very many principals in one place does fill me with a certain amount of dread. I don't know if Doug Martin is here, but Doug Martin, one of your principals here in the Loudoun School System, and I were actually classmates. I actually haven't seen him since the night we graduated from high school. But he will tell you I did not always have the best relationship with our principal. So you know, but somehow you know, despite the you know all of their best efforts, I am still here today. I do want to thank everybody for all of the work that they've done to get us here so far. There has been a tremendous amount of effort over the last 3 years put into installing this process. Our project team folks have really you know worked incredibly hard in many cases night and day to get us to where we are at this point. To try to guess ahead of time what it was that this new vehicle that we're going to be driving is going to look like and what it was going to need. And, you know, to try to visualize themselves that, you know, how the green screens of Famous would turn into this, you know, this click and drop methodology that we have today. And to my mind, it's still the best analogy to me in all of this still is a car. You know, we're looking at, you know, we're driving a 1970s, you know, sedan. It was a decent sedan at the time. It might have even been an upscale sedan back in the day. And now we're going to buy, you know, a 2012 car. And it's not going to look anything like what we had before. Now, it's going to have a lot of features. The new car is going to have a lot of features that we really like. You know, it's going to have, it's probably going to have heated seats. We already talked earlier today, it's going to have a dashboard, and it's going to have a much better dashboard that actually reflects stuff rather than just has idiot lights, which is basically where we are now. It's going to get us much better gas mileage, i.e., a whole lot less paper. But it's not going to have everything we like. There's a lot of stuff in the system now, in the systems that we have now that we're comfortable with and we're used to having that aren't necessarily going to be there in the future. Again, looking at our car design, I always liked it that, you know, you had the turn signals out on the head of the hood in some of those old sedans. Donnie might have had a car like that in those days. But, and I miss that. It was always good, you know, when you're driving down the road, have that out there to remind you you've left your turn signal on. But that's not going to be, you know, cars today don't have that, you know. So there are going to be a lot of features, but I think in the long run you're going to discover that they are just that. Largely extraneous features that because of workflow redesigns and the capabilities of the new system, you're going to find that you don't really miss them that much as time goes on. I do again want to say thank you very much for coming out here today. The heavy lifting for basically the internal operations folks for both the county and the schools is still underway. They're still going to be, you know, turning from just being the subject matter experts, or SMEs, as we call them, that's kind of a scary thing, who've had to spend all of this time thinking and designing these features. Now they're going to have to turn into trainers to train other people, and that's going to be a lot of effort. And given at the same time, they've still had things to do. As Lee said, half of the burden that's come from this thing are for the folks who've been left behind in the office and still have to complete all the work. So again, thank you all who've had to do that. But for the rest of you, April, May, June, when we really get into the heavy training, that's a lot's going to be asked at that point in time. And you too still have regular jobs. People are still going to want to get paid. People are still going to want their reimbursements. You're still going to be chasing those pieces of paper and trying to figure out whose desk is it on. I got to again say the idea that electronically people will realize how much of that paper is electronically stuck in my office does worry me. But at the long run, you know, you guys are going to have a lot of work over the next, you know, three months to get this thing set up. We're going to have the same kind of work to get the HR and payroll system set up. But we're going to have something we're really happy with, I think, at the end of this process. And to a large extent, how happy you are really depends on the amount of work and commitment that you guys make to this. And I have to say, given what we've gotten through so far at this point, speaking not just for the ERP project team, but also for the overall ERP steering committee, I have the highest confidence, given the past history of how things have gone, that we're going to be able to deliver these projects. We're going to be able to go live when we need to, and we're going to have something a year from now, a year and a half from now. We're all just delighted that we have. So, but thank you all very much for coming this morning. I'm going to turn it back over to Tom.
We're now at the point of the meeting where we want to open it up to questions and answers. And to do this, we have a couple wireless mics out in the audience, and we've got Michelle and Patty are going to be running to you. So please raise your hand if you have a question. They'll get a mic to you because we want everybody to hear your question. Noyan and Diane are going to come back up for some of the answers as well. So raise your hand and we'll get a microphone to you. Where's our first question?
Oh, my. Got a microphone and an audience.
And an audience.
Does anybody have a soapbox somewhere? Actually, I do have a question. On the previous screens, at the top left-hand corner, it said sand. What does that mean?
You can turn on down there.
We did our screens out of the sandbox, which is where we get to play in Oracle to learn it. So sand is for sandbox. It won't say that.
Here we go, right up front.
Easy question. I didn't notice that you had TRs. Are they going to be part of phase one or later? Travel requests, which are now I-forms.
Yeah, that's what the I-expense is your travel expenses, and that'll be part of phase one.
I guess how are we going to roll it out? Because all of our folks in the field do it. We have over 180 employees that do their own TRs and then submit them to me. I guess we'll do that a different approach or figure it out differently?
They'll log in individually and put their stuff in, and it'll go in an approval to
okay.
You.
Yeah, the thing to note about that is it's going to be one of two ways. There are some departments that are going to operate like they currently do, where someone still submits it to someone, and then that, like the bookkeeper in some cases will submit on somebody else's behalf. But they also will have the ability to submit on their own, and we're just going to kind of work our way through that. The other thing is that I know Tom sort of touched on is we're going to be employing the trainer methodology. So what's going to happen is the AST consultants are going to train our internal staff on how to do the training to the various departments. So there will be a lot of situations where we'll be going out to places where people will be coming here for training, and you will be being trained by the very people that know exactly how it works internally rather than strangers who aren't totally that familiar with our processes and why we do it.
Other questions? We have one over here.
When you go live with Oracle, are we going to have Famous on our desk and Oracle, or is it, you know, Famous is out that night and the next morning we come in and it's just Oracle?
The way that's going to work is that there's going to be a definite cutoff of any new transactions going into Famous. So the June 30th cutoff will be it for Famous for any new transactions. Now, we'll close out the year in Famous, so there will be journal entries and things going in to make adjustments, and then those same journal entries will have to be incorporated into Oracle as well because it would affect the balances. So Bill and Tom have mentioned, there will be a transition plan in place to go through a whole checklist of items of what people are supposed to do in terms of AP invoices and POs and things like that.
For the most part, you should plan on not using Famous after June 30th. There will be a handful of people that will be using it and will having to make adjustments, but you need to say your goodbyes somewhere around June 28th.
Other questions? Anyone else? Okay, with that then, I'd like to turn it back to Lee.
It's the next slide. Those of you that know me or came to the last town hall know that I put these things together, random thoughts about various topics and useless thoughts as well. And last town hall we did teamwork, and for today it takes about 2 minutes to see. Today's topic is perseverance, because that's what
we exemplify. Some of the comments are supposed to be meaningful or inspiring even, and some are just supposed to be funny. So a couple minutes.
It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I have seen the same, I know the shame in your defeat. I will hold on hope, and I won't let you choke on the noose around your neck. And I'll find strength in pain, and I will change my ways. I'll know my name as it's called again. My time, you take what is yours and I'll take mine. Now let me at the truth which will refresh my broken mind. So tie me to a post and block my ears. I can see widows and orphans through my tears, and know my call despite my faults and despite my growing fears. But walking on your hands and see the world hanging upside down. You can understand dependence when you know the maker's plan. So make your sirens call and sing all you want. I will not hear what you have to say, 'cause I need freedom now, and I need to know how to live my life as it's meant to be.
Back up again to that last point, because it may have been a little long for you to read it quickly, and it kind of sums up everything that we wanted to say. Of course, you know, moving backwards is always a challenge. Nothing in this world can take the, and this is a quote from Calvin Coolidge, nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful people with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. And I truly believe that. Effort is everything. And if everybody keeps trying, we will get this done. I'm not saying it will be easy, but we will get it done. So keep trying. It makes a difference. Thank you for coming.